So this message is a departure. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we've been in chapter 11, which is the great faith chapter, for some time now. But I took a departure today because, you know, you've just seen a vision cast before you, a vision for what this church could be. And we've raised money, and we're still raising money. I mean, people are still giving. It goes up every time we have council meeting. Lynn presents it. And if you want to know what we have as of the last council meeting, just look on the back of the bulletin. It's right there. It tells you how much money is in our building fund. And this is a very exciting time. I mean, we've been talking about this for a few years. It's exciting. I mean, our church, we have about 90 seats in here, and you know, we've been averaging 70, 80 people, and it'll kind of go up, and then it goes back down. And then it goes back up, and then it goes back down. And that's what all the people that tell you about church growth tell you, is that you'll run about 80% of your seats, which for us, it's about 70-something people. And that's kind of where we stay. And, you know, a lot of us aren't even here today. If everybody shows up, which they do from time to time, we overflow, we're in the library, we're everywhere. And so, you know, we need to grow physically, just a physical building. We need to grow. And I pondered this, I've been pondering this, because Harvey approached me a few weeks ago and said, hey, I want to make a presentation and all that. And I said, you know, let's do it on this date and whatever. And that's why we're doing it today. And the Lord gave me this passage, and we're just going to look at this. I've titled it "Keeping Our Eyes Upon Jesus," and I think your bulletin says "Your Eyes," but it's our eyes. But your eyes, our eyes, my eyes, all of our eyes need to be on Jesus. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 14, verse 25-33, and this has to do with priorities. Because we can get excited and we can be building and people are giving money and they're excited. They want to see things happening, and now things are starting to happen. And we need to keep Jesus a priority, regardless of what happens. Because this can get real ugly. It can be frustrating. You know, when the county shows up and says, oh, you know, we're changing this, it can be frustrating. We got to keep our eyes on Christ all the time. And so, just starting in verse 25 and the first part of 26, Jesus talked about this, about the cost of following him, about making him our priority. And it's keeping Jesus over our relationships, over our relationships. It says now in verse 25 of Luke 14, now great crowds were traveling with him. So he turned and said, because it's interesting, a lot of people want to follow, they'll hear things, and they say, wow, we're excited, we want to follow Jesus. And then Jesus would turn around, and he'd say something that was very difficult to hear. And he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's like, wow, wait a minute. God wants me to hate my mom and dad, my wife, my children? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about having a proper priority in your life. And our love for Jesus must supersede our love for our family. I mean, he is number one. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that came to earth, grew up and lived a sinless life and paid the price for your sin and mine. He is worthy of the position he holds. And he's not saying, I mean, of course we love our parents. We love our children and our wife and brothers and sisters and those things. And we do love our own life. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Bible says in Revelation, it talks about leaving your first love. And we need to make sure we don't leave our first love as Christians. Over our relationships. And that's hard to do because, you know, family means a lot. You know, and this church is a family. as well. Not just our blood family, but then we have our fellowship family, our church family. I mean, we have this meal. You know, every Sunday after church, we have food and fellowship because we're a family. And we enjoy being together, and we enjoy just being part of God's family and having each other as brothers and sisters. And when there's a need, we rise up and you know, take people to the doctor or go visit them at the hospital or whatever. That's what families do. And we have a very special family here. But Jesus is over that. We need to understand that. Secondly, he's over our life. He says, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bearing our own cross, he says, pick up, in another place, he says, pick up your cross and follow me. What was the cross? A means of execution. If you were carrying your cross, you were getting ready to die. That's the context that he spoke this in. This was spoken during the time of Rome, during the time of crucifixion. And so he's saying, you want to be my disciple? You got to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself. And he says, I've got to be more important than even your own life. And are we literally supposed to die? Well, sometimes people do. You know, there's people giving their life all the time for Christianity overseas. Go to Iran, Pakistan, places like that. Christians are dying for their faith. Nigeria, where our brother just came from, people dying for their faith. Sometimes it does cost life. We're blessed. It's not costing us our life, quote unquote, physically yet, at least. But that's not all of what he's talking about. He's talking about your dying to yourself. It's not what I want, it's what he wants. It's his will for my life. You know, it's so much of our prayer so many times is, God, I want to do this and this and this. Please bless me. And instead our prayer ought to be, God, what is it you want me to do? Let me line up with you. You have a will and a purpose for me. Let me line up with your will. Let me line up with your purpose. You know, I pray this prayer every time before I speak. I say, all of you and none of me, Lord. All of you and none of me. Not my words, your words. Not my thoughts, your thoughts. That's what it needs to be. And it needs to be that in our life. You know, it's really not my life. It's his life. I forfeited my life. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I'm saying, you know what? I need you, Lord. I need you to take over my life and make me into something I'm not. Create me. Make me a new person. And that's what he says he'll do. You're a new creature. You're created in Jesus Christ. And so he's got to be more important than my life. You know, not to boast or anything, but I gave up some things to serve him. Things that I liked, things that I enjoyed, you know, things that were doing me well in some ways. And I'm not bragging, it's not any of that. I don't even think about that. But it's just the fact that you're faced with a choice. You're going to do things your way or his way. I'm so glad I chose his way. It's so much more rewarding, so much more fulfilling. Has nothing to do with how much is in the bank or how many possessions I have or whatever. God's blessed. Has to do with just being in his will. Letting him work through me. And he wants to do that through this church. This is a church endeavor to build, to expand. And I'll go into that a little bit more at the end. But we do have to get ourselves out of the way, don't we? Because the flesh, it does want its way. We are inherently selfish. The flesh does want its way. And we got to say, no. It's your way, Lord. Keeping Jesus over our life. Keeping Jesus over our church. in 28 through 30. He says, for which of you wanting to build a tower? See, we're going to try and build a tower here. Okay? Which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost? See, that's what Harvey's doing. He's going and seeing what we're going to find out what they want. And we're going to calculate the cost and see if we have enough to complete it. Otherwise, we can be like that church down the street. We'll lay a foundation and cannot finish. And cannot finish. And it says all the onlookers will begin to make fun and say, this man started the building, wasn't able to finish. We got to keep Jesus over our church. It's our love for Him has got to supersede. Yeah, we love to expand. Yes, whether it's this direction or that direction or, you know, whatever's going to take place here, God knows. And as much as we'd love to have that happen, our love for Him still got to be more, because it's more than just about the area of our building. How much area or how many seats we can put in there or how many classrooms we can have. I mean, do we need more room? Absolutely. You know, He just took away a bunch of room right here. Put this platform in here. That wasn't here last week, I don't think. You know, they had a work day yesterday. I wasn't here. I was, you know, toiling at the Hyatt Regency Resort in Palm Desert. Toiling. It was a pastor's conference retreat. But, you know, we can't hardly put anything else here. You know, if we go any more that way, Dave's going to be out in the parking lot. He was already in the kitchen. You know, I don't know what he did wrong there, you know, to deserve that. But, you know, he could be in the parking lot. It could be worse, brother. You could be out there, you know. But, you know, it's got to be more than that. You know, it's about Jesus. And, you know, if we got to make do with this, then we will. But, you know, our God's big. Our God's big. He can, you know, things can happen. I think God's in it. But we're gonna calculate, and we're gonna see what we can do, and we're gonna go for it. See what happens. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then okay, Lord, that wasn't what it was supposed to be. What is it supposed to be? And we'll go from there. We need to keep Jesus over our ministry. And it's not, I'm just looking at the semantics of all these. This is talking about keeping Him above. Not, you know, do we need relationships? Yes. Do we want our life? Yes. Do we need our church? Yes. Ministries? Yes. But it's keeping Him number one over those things. Maybe I should have stuck number one in there, you know. But keeping Him over our ministry. 31, you know, and there's a lot of different ministries in here. There's people in here. Most of you are busy doing something. You know, I mean, I have this particular ministry, which is a higher visibility, but, you know, Harvey's organizing these work days, you know, in his ministry there, and we got the singing ministry, and there's the food ministry that we have on Thursdays, and the ladies' ministry. You know, there's a lot of ministries, and most of you are involved in these somewhere, some way. And you know, our love for Jesus has got to be above and beyond our love for the ministry that we're involved with. And he says this, he says, or what king going to war against another king will not first sit down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? And you know what? What is our ministry? We are a church. What is our ministry? Our ministry is to go out there and share the gospel. The gospel is our ministry. Now, part of it is, yes, fellowship and addressing needs within, you know, providing areas of growth so people can grow in their knowledge of the word and grow in their service. But ultimately, all that is for nothing if we're not winning people for Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what it's about. It's the gospel. And there's a lot more of them. You know, that's the 20,000 out there as opposed to the 10,000 here. You know, narrow is the way, right? Narrow is the way that leads to life. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many are going through that gate. And so we need to sit down and decide, you know what, are we with what we have? Are we going to be able to go against what they have? And you know, the answer is yes if you're with God. The answer is yes if you're relying on His strength and not your own, relying on His resources and not your own. It says if you don't, He says if you don't have enough, if you haven't sat down, He says, you know what's going to happen? You're going to send the delegation out and do terms of peace. Ask for terms of peace. And it has to be whether it's that ministry or even your ministry, whatever it may be. You know, the singing. Jesus has got to be more important than the singing. Jesus is more important than the food ministry. Now, are these things important? Did God lay it on our heart? Is it helpful for worship? Is it helpful for service? For the absolutely, it's helpful. But we can't lose our sight of who we're serving and the purpose for it. We got to keep Jesus number one. Lastly, keeping Jesus over our possessions. Ouch! In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not say goodbye to all his possessions cannot be my disciple. One thing we have in America is possessions, and you may say, well, I don't have a lot. Well, you need to go somewhere else and check out what they got, and then you'll come back and go, wow, I have a lot. And we do. We're blessed. It's interesting that, you know, money, of all the things that Jesus used as an example, competing for our devotion, he used money. He says, you can't serve two masters. You're going to either cling to one and let go of the other, or you're going to hate one, love the other. And he's talking about money and him. You're going to love God or you're going to love money. You can't have it both ways. And then money is how we get our possessions. I mean, one way or another. That's what he's talking about, the material things. And we got to keep Jesus over that. Now, does he bless? Absolutely. God blesses. Sometimes he blesses. You know, and we get things. You know, I live in a comfortable house and drive a comfortable car. I have clothes. There's people that don't have that. You know, but we're blessed. But he's more important. And we can get tied up with the checkbook. We can get tied up with things and kind of forget who blessed us with them. Who blessed us with the ability to make the money that we made. You know, who blessed us? So it's not a matter that it's sinful to have anything. It's not it at all. It's just keeping everything in its right place. Keeping everything in its priority. And if God has blessed you, amen. God bless you. I'm glad he did. No sincere Christian would argue that Jesus should not be the top priority in the life of a Christian. But the truth is, major situations in the life of an individual, or in our case, in the life of a church, can arise. These, you know, situations come up, big things. And yes, this is the beginning of a very exciting time here. We've been raising money, and now we're actually starting to do something. I think, you know, this could be a marvelous thing. But the road that lies ahead of us will also have challenges and frustrations as well. Absolutely will. Life always is, they got that. You know, you're either, you know, one of the illustrations they used at the conference I was just at is, you know, you're at a mountaintop experience. And life has those, and praise God for that. You know, when you're, something really comes through in your life and you're there and you're like, wow, you know. But, you know, when you're on the mountaintop and you look around, every direction, the distance goes down. It goes down from there. And there may be other mountaintops in your life that are coming, but you got to go into the valley to get to the next mountain, don't you? I mean, that's part of life. And it just seems like you're either on the mountaintop or you're coming down from something, or you're in the valley or you're going up now. I mean, you know, it never stays the same. It's just, it's this. That's life. And there's challenges in that. And sometimes life can be very frustrating as well. Life can be downright disheartening if you let it get a hold of you. That's why it's especially important to keep your eyes on Jesus. Knowing that this is temporary. It's temporary, folks. Eternity is eternity. This life's temporary. If you live to be 120, what is that compared to eternity? It's nothing. It's a drop. It's a drop of water in the ocean of eternity. Now, is it impactful? Absolutely. When you're in the middle of that 120 years or whatever it is that God allows you to live, yeah, there's some impactful things that we got to deal with, but we got to keep that eye on Jesus. These challenges that we may run into have the ability to become the top priority if we're not careful to keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, we've placed before you a vision here, a vision of either a building going that way or a building going that way, you know, depending on what they make us do. But I want you to catch the vision. It's going to solve some problems. We got some problems with space. You know, we need to grow. There's a problem there. You know, we had two baptisms. You know, we've had two baptism ceremonies the last 2 weeks. Okay, and we have to drag this thing over here and put it and fill it full of water, and it's leaking, and it, you know, and all the stuff, you know. And then we got to, you know, and it's in the way, and people are sitting right there, and they're looking at me over the top of that thing, you know. You know, and that's minor in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, there's just no space. And so do we have a need? Yeah. You know, I'm in there in the nursery teaching a new members class, and Gail Rose is out there, you know, waiting to see when she can go in there and get the nursery ready because I'm using her class and, you know, and those her room there. And so, you know, we need to, God has blessed us. I mean, we just got 8 new members today. You know, we're growing, and people are coming, and they're interested, and we need to grow. Now, you know, I really don't want to go to 2 services. And for a number of reasons, but the number one reason is I'm afraid it would like kind of separate our family. I mean, hey, I can preach, you know, I can preach 2, 3, 4, whatever. I mean, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is, man, I like us being together. And I think you like us being together. And I don't want to create that because I've been in, you know, nothing wrong. There's big churches and they do many services. But I know when I was in one of those, the one I came from, you know, if you go to a service that you don't normally go to, you're like, wow, who are all these people? And I'd go over there, you know, and we were always encouraged, you know, make sure you welcome the visitors. And then you go over there and say, hey, you know, are you new? No, I've been here 5 years, you know. Oh, well, you know, that's what I get for not going to my service. So then you feel all embarrassed. Oh, well, sorry, you know, just never seen you before. And there's nothing, you know, hey, if God's called that church for that, that's great. But, you know, I think our best asset is our love for one another and our relationships with one another. And I don't want it, but I don't want to tamper with that. I think it's something special. And so, I mean, but really, that's the choices we have, folks. I mean, you know, it's either get bigger or go more services or start packing them in the kitchen with Dave, I guess. So there's a problem. And, you know, what do we lose? You know, and I think there's some rightful, not urgency to the point of doing something we're not ready to do, but it's an urgent need. I mean, we're there. And what do we lose or what do we regret if we don't do this? if it doesn't happen. I think we'll regret it. I think we need to catch the vision and let's go, you know, and see how it works. And keep it all in prayer, folks. I mean, I hope, you know, if you haven't been praying on a regular basis for this building program, I hope you start now. This is a big undertaking. I mean, you know as well as I do. I mean, you see our budget. We don't have a huge budget. It's hanging there on the wall. And, you know, we've got a lot of people here on fixed income. And that, you know, that's the facts. And, you know, as far as I know, we don't have like 13 millionaires in here. It was really crazy at that conference. Dr. Hunt, who led it, man, he just got problems I can't even, you know, he's got problems I don't have, if you want to call them problems. I mean, he's in a church, Woodstock, First Baptist Woodstock, Georgia. I don't know how many thousand people go there, but he's got like these millionaires in his congregation, and they come up and they go, if you had $1 million, what would you do with it? And he's like, and he's ready, you know, I'd do this program, that program. I've never had anybody here come up to me. Probably won't. I've got $250. What could you do with that? That guy's really got problems, don't he? But you know, God has blessed him, you know, and God has called him. You know, I wouldn't know what to do with him. You know, that'd be over my head, okay? I'm just a small kind of guy, just, you know, I do well. I don't even know how I do what I do now. So, but all that to say, God calls some men to be pastors of thousands, and some to be pastors of hundreds, and some to be pastors of tens. And they're all honorable, and they're all called by God, and God works his purpose through all those things. And so I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. So that's not an issue. But it's just sometimes I wonder about, like, what would that be like to have someone seriously come up and say that to you? That would be wild. But I'd say, oh, yeah, we just build that building right now, man. El no problemo, you know. We would do it. But the thing is, you know, whether you're on his scale, the scale that he operates under, or the scale that we operate under, it's all under God. And that church is a praying church. And you know what? Our church is a praying church. And without God blessing it, you build in vain. That's what the Bible says. Whether it's massive buildings or a 1,400 square foot add-on. Except God build the house, those that labor, labor in vain. And so, you know, I'm calling you, catch the vision and pray for the vision. Pray for God's hand on us, on the county, on, you know, Harvey as he draws these things and goes before these guys and does the things he's got to do. You pray for that. You know, if prayer wasn't necessary, the vision's too small. You think about that. Whatever it is you're dealing with in your life, if you can do it in your power, what do you need God for? Seriously. If we could just do this ourselves, what do we need God for? Does not God want us to rely on him and not ourselves? And that doesn't mean be foolish. And I don't think we're being foolish. We're carefully planning. We're counting. You know, we're going into this with our eyes wide open. But if it's so small we don't need God, then I don't think it's worth doing. We need to do something God-sized. And God will have to act. And God will give us favor, and God will bless. And, you know, he's got ways to provide things that we don't even know about. We haven't even thought of. How big is your God? Mine's really big. If I can bring him down to my size, he's not much of a God. That's just the truth. If prayer wasn't necessary, the vision would be too small. You know, if we just had the 150 grand and it only cost 100,000 to do what we're doing, what do we need to do pray for anyway? We just go, just hire the guy and build it and done with it. Yeah, look what we did. But you know what? When this building comes about, it's going to be, look what God did. Look what he did. And then what goes on in here will glorify God, serve to expand the kingdom. That's what it's about, folks. A better facility so that we can reach more people. That's what it's about. Reach people like Steve that came here last week. You know, Monique got saved 3 weeks ago. That's what it's about. So as the writer of Hebrews put it, that's why I had Dave read that. Let us run with endurance. Because you know what? A building program is not a sprint. It takes endurance. Let us run with endurance. You know, your life is not a sprint. It takes endurance to live your life. It takes endurance for me to live mine. But let's run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Amen. How did I know that was going to happen? I didn't know. But it worked out really cool. We're going to have an invitation now. And, you know, there may be somebody in this room. You know, I've been talking about making Jesus a priority, you know, and that kind of thing. But there could be somebody in this room that has never made Jesus the priority in their life, that you've never admitted that you were a sinner. You've never admitted that you need intervention from God in your life. You've never admitted that you deserve hell. There could be someone in here that has never done that. You've never asked God to forgive you. You've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've never placed your faith in the fact that he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead in victory over sin and death. And it's open to you. It is available to every single person that has ever lived. And don't worry about the person that's not here. If you are here, you are hearing these words. What have you done with those words? There may be someone here like that. For the rest of us, let me just ask you a simple question. Is Jesus over everything in your life? Is he over your possessions? Is he over your relationships? Is he number one in your life? Is he number one in your ministry, in the church, wherever it is that you are and serve? Or have you been kind of holding on? Is what you do yours and not his? Has it been your way instead of his way? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves from time to time. Because, you know, we can easily get doing good things. Doing good things, we can go a direction and kind of forget who we're doing it for. Not on purpose, not maliciously, but just slip into it. And we need to ask ourselves from time to time, why do I do what I do? Is it for me or is it for him? Is it about pleasing me or people around me, or is it about pleasing him? We got to ask ourselves from time to time because we're so easily distracted. The sin in that same passage, the sin that so easily besets us. And it does, doesn't it? It's real easy for us to kind of go that way. Because why? Because we got this sinful flesh. That just kind of the sin nature that just gravitates us that way naturally. And we have that war between our spirit, the Holy Spirit, and our flesh that battles. Kathy, if you'll come up. Kathy's going to play. If you can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today? Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've never done it. I've never asked God to forgive me. I've never trusted in His sacrifice on the cross for my salvation. Anybody like that? If you just slip your hand up, I just want to pray for you. And if you don't want to raise your hand, you come seek me out. Or my name, my phone number, my email is on the back of the bulletin. You contact me. I'll talk with you privately. But is there anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, sometimes I kind of go off to the side a little bit and I get focused on what I'm doing and some of my focus kind of departs from the Savior in my service. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Wow, a lot of hands. Hey, we're all in good company. We get distracted. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that we would indeed get our focus on You. Lord, we get encumbered. We get encumbered with some things that are good things, you know, things that get us busy, and sometimes we get so focused on them, we kind of forget. We kind of leave You out a little bit sometimes. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for that. And help us to get our eyes back on You as we serve. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in our midst, in our church, in our lives. And Lord God, I pray that You would reveal to us those areas where we're kind of hanging on. We're not letting You have control. We're kind of hanging on ourselves. Lord, help us to let go. Let You have it. Place our faith in You. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what You have laid on our hearts this day, Lord, that we may serve You and please You. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This time is yours. As Kathy plays, you deal with God the way that He's laid it on your heart. You take this time, invest this time wisely. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You thankful, Lord, for Your word, for how it leads, guides, and directs us, Lord. Thank You for Your spirit, which helps us to understand that word and helps us learn to apply it to our lives in a way that would please You, glorify You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Help us indeed to keep our eyes on Jesus. And Lord God, bless our church, Lord. Give us wisdom as we go forward on this mission, if you will, Lord, to add to the area of our sanctuary. And Lord God, I pray that You would show Yourself in a mighty way in the midst of this project, that Your kingdom would grow and that You'd be glorified. Thank You, Lord, for all that helped out yesterday at the work day, Lord, and all that did what they did there. Lord, I praise You for their heart. I ask You now, in Jesus' name, all these things. Amen. Amen.